Welcome. So are you all having a good conference so far? Good. My name is Don Van Doren. I'm delighted to have all of you here. We're going to be talking a bit about understanding LINC and the contact center and what's going on, what are some of the opportunities and issues. Just as we get started, it would be helpful if I could just to get an understanding of who's in the audience. How many of you are sort of end user customers, people that are thinking about implementing some of these kinds of solutions? Okay, about half. That's good. How many are systems integrators and VARs and people like this that are doing it? Okay, consultants? Okay, a couple of those. Great. Well, thanks very much for all of you for coming. my name is Don Van Doren, as I said. I'm president of a company called Vanguard Communications and also a co-founder with Marty Parker of a company called Unicom Consulting. These are two consulting firms, independent firms. We're not Microsoft VARs. We're not affiliated with Microsoft in any way, although we've done quite a bit of work with and around a lot of the Microsoft solutions. Our business is, in both of these companies, is really helping organizations understand how do you migrate from sort of legacy environments, where you are today, to where you need to be and where things are going in the future. Unicom Consulting is a firm that Marty and I started back in 2007 to really focus on the coming changes in communications technologies. So very focused on unified communications and collaboration. Vanguard is an old company. I started 30 years ago. And for about the last two decades, our focus has been entirely on contact centers and really broader than that, customer interaction strategies. How do organizations really figure out how to deal most effectively with their customers, with their partners, with their supply chains, and really make those kinds of interactions work very well. Of course, what's happening is that these two fields are definitely merging together. And we've seen that really coming for a long time. In some sense, contact centers were probably the first place in sort of the whole telecommunications sphere where people figured out that if you take people, processes, and technologies and organize them around solving a particular business goal, you can make a real difference in terms of how something operates. And in that case, in contact centers, the issue was how do we more effectively handle inbound communications from customers or outbound or other kinds of interactions that are going on. Well, that notion of marrying people, process, and technology, and bringing it all together into some business goal attainment is really at the heart, our feeling, of the best of the unified communications implementations. It's not about how do we sprinkle LINC around, how do we get IM and presence on everybody's desk. It's how do we change businesses? How do we change how work gets done? That's the fundamental concept that I think is so important here. And we've seen that in call centers and contact centers for decades. That's where that whole industry got started, of course. And I think what is important in the broader sense of this conference is how do we take some of those kinds of lessons and apply them more broadly to a lot of the way our businesses operate. Okay, so that's a little bit about me and our background. My goal today is really to focus here again on the contact center issues and some of the very interesting things that are coming along in this whole environment. The takeaways, I hope, are the following. I'm going to be talking some about what are the trends that we're seeing in the contact center industry, but then how does that apply to what's going on within the Microsoft world? Because what we're finding is that there's some very interesting LINC-enabled solutions that are coming out in the marketplace. And by the way, more and more all the time. In the course of preparing for this presentation, I was pleasantly surprised just to see all the different companies that are emerging and really doing some very interesting and innovative things in terms of functionality and capabilities. We're going to try and touch on some of those kinds of issues. We're going to look at a couple of the different partner offerings. These are not intended to be sales pitches in any sense, but I have four gentlemen from some of the various companies that are partners of Microsoft that are going to talk very briefly about their offerings and some of the distinctions amongst the different offerings that we've got here on the show floor, for example. So I think that'll be an interesting thing. And then finally, just sort of wrap up with, how do we make choices? How do we decide? What are the things that we've seen out of our history of contact center consulting work that can be helpful and apply to this? So that's our goals for today. I think Gurdeep, you know, this morning, if you were in his session, really talked about a lot of some of these fundamental shifts that are going on within communications. You know, very clearly, we've got some big changes in terms of how voice is showing up and how it's disappearing. Obviously, the voice is a standalone environment. PBXs are, I won't say they're dead on their feet, but they're certainly declining in importance. We've siphoned away traffic into mobility, into peer-to-peer communications, into business applications. You know, when somebody who works in Salesforce all day long, you know, is sitting there doing their work, they don't go to their email client to look at email. It shows up right on their Salesforce screen. If they need to contact somebody, they don't reach and pick up the telephone. That communication app is built right into the business software. And that kind of a concept is going to, I think, continue to develop and grow, and it's going to really fundamentally change how work gets done. And I think that's a very important kind of a concept. So the notion of voice as a standalone communications entity and a capability is, I think, a dying idea. Obviously, we've got a lot of new devices. Much of this is coming from the consumer world. Mobility is obviously one of the big steps that's happened in this whole field. So lots of changes there. New ways to communicate, all the social media stuff that's going on. I mean, lots of changes that are happening. And all of this means that there's really some fundamental changes in how customers want to interact with organizations. And so I think what's important here is that how those interactions need to work within your particular environment or within your customer's particular environment, you know, this is something I think is going to be very crucial to look at. And my strong suggestion to people, and something that we try to drive home in our consulting work, is you don't want to simply, you know, extend the kind of capabilities that we've had in the past and throw them over our shoulders into the future and say, you know, here's what we're going to do next. What we have to do is step back and say, let's really look at all these fundamental shifts in communications that are going on and ask ourselves, what does that mean for how we want to interact with our customer sets? And I think that's something that's a crucial idea. And the whole notion that Link and Microsoft are bringing to this table are some rather innovative and new ideas and new ways of thinking about this. To its credit, my opinion, you know, Microsoft decided not to build a PBX. You know, other companies that have gotten into this space in the last decade and a half made a different decision. They said, well, that's what we want to do. We want to build a new PBX kind of a capability. Microsoft took a different tack, and I think, frankly, history will show that that one is going to play out very, very well for them. So I think there obviously are a lot of implications for contact centers as well, and what I want to do today is spend some time talking about those. So this chart basically just kind of arrays the kind of contact center environments, everything from very informal contact centers out on this side to highly sophisticated contact centers over here on the right. And I think what we're finding is that, you know, there are different kinds of solutions that come out of this. You know, just sort of add-on ACDs versus very high-end dedicated ACD capabilities. And we're going to come back to this chart a little bit later to see where things line up. But the point is that there are a variety of problems that companies need to solve from a contact center standpoint, and there are a variety of solutions. And so I think that what we're seeing here is that there's really this array. What's interesting is that the partners that we see coming up and building solutions for contact center functionality on top of Microsoft span the horizon on this thing. They really cover a broad spectrum of capabilities. And again, we'll come back and speak to that a little bit later. So what are some of the basic functions and what are some of the trends? Well, as you all know, ACDs are all about three things fundamentally. How do we queue calls, how do we route them, and how do we gather metrics and report on them? And if we do those things very well, you know, then we're making some real good progress. And when this industry got started and back in the 1973 timeframe, when Rockwell built the first ACD for Continental Airlines, you know, I think they were looking at how do we take some of those kind of basic functionality. In the ensuing four decades, you know, we've just exploded the kinds of capabilities and the kinds of functionality that are there to use. Things that, you know, are quite common now within queue treatments. So music and announcements and all these kinds of things. Place in queue, expected wait times, call me back. By the way, not all the partners that you'll see here have done all these kinds of things. This is still evolutionary. And I think one of the things that we have to understand is that, you know, for some of the partners, they basically come to this space from the call center industry themselves. Others are new, basically new software shops that are emerging. And frankly, with the advances in software development capabilities, many of them are able to build highly sophisticated systems with a lot of functionality that simply wasn't possible, you know, 5-10 years ago before some of these kinds of tools became available. So a lot of interesting things going on. Within the advanced routing capabilities, you know, most idle agent is sort of one way that people looked at how do we route calls. Well, you send it to the guy that hasn't been busy. Okay, that's fine. But obviously there are a lot more sophisticated ways of doing that. And again, we see a broad range of capabilities here. So the question to ask, of course, is if that's something that's crucial for you, if you've got specialized requirements, then you may want to, you know, make sure that you're gathering that for your features and functions that you really want to look at. Some of these things are highly selective. For example, the ability for an agent to look at the queue of calls that are out here. And how do we go grab one and say, I'll take that call, or I want to reserve that one for me. Maybe the reason you do that is because you talked to that person before, for example. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that you can think about this. Well, there's a lot of innovation coming in terms of how people think about these sorts of things. Avaya, as an example, you know, has developed their advocate system, which is basically based on promises of service levels. And so the point is they'll look for the best agent, not who's available right now, but who's likely to become available within a certain span of time. And, you know, and that span of time is equal to the promise of service level that they want to maintain. So, you know, I'm not saying that's an appropriate approach for everybody, but on the other hand, the point is that there are much more sophisticated capabilities that are starting to come. So what's important here, and I'm going to come back to this point later, what's important is to go back and say, what do we need in our business? What's critical from the way we want to work to make sure that this works effectively? And finally, reporting. You know, lots of people have canned reports. My experience is that reporting is sort of the stepchild in the ACD business. You know, it's the thing that we finally get around to at some point when we're designing systems. And so usually the reports that are there aren't quite what the customer wants, and so some kind of accessible database and way to get in and manipulate that is something that's important. Dashboards, displays, all this sort of thing, lots of different kinds of ways people are looking at this. But let's get beyond this. So another big change, obviously, is sort of the number of different media, different kind of channels that are open for contact. Obviously, voice is still predominant, and I'll get to a chart that actually talks about that a little bit. But all these other things are clearly coming along. I mean, the big question mark in a lot of people's minds is this one, the social media. What do we do about this? What's the best way to handle that? Do we just monitor what's going on? Do we try and write responses? Do we participate in forums? You know, there are a number of techniques here that people are really trying to understand and think about. And again, this is one of these things that we're starting to see the Microsoft partners start to develop some capabilities in this. But it's something that's still, in some sense, in some cases at least, still under development. Mobile apps. I think this is going to be a crucial issue. And I'm going to come back and talk about this toward the end. But I think that what we're going to find is that the ability of people using their smartphones to access companies is going to shift how that, in fact, works. And we're going to see some rather massive changes coming in it. Let's look at where we are, though. And this is sort of an interesting chart. It came out of Contact Babel's study. But basically, telephony is still 70%. That's what their finding was. This chart was done in just last, 6 months ago or so. And so what we're seeing is that this is still the most important part of the segment. It's a little puzzling to me, frankly, but I think what the reason in part is because, companies are designed to handle telephone calls. They're less designed to handle some of these other forms of communications. But I think we're going to see some changes coming. This is a study out of an Emerites, not actually in 3012, but 2012. My guess is that chart won't be accurate for 3012. This is sort of for email and for web chat. Who's currently using it, who's planning to use it, and who's evaluating and no plans. Again, this was a couple years ago, so we're undoubtedly would see some shifts if we take that chart more recently. But the point is that there's clearly people trying to look at some of these things and figure out where do we take this technology into new directions. And so in your planning, I think, again, it would be important for you to say, what's out here? Where do we need to go? What's important for our business that we can really bake in? And that's really dependent on your customer set and who you need to interact with and how you want to do it. Okay, the whole idea of workforce management, in small to medium-sized businesses, most companies are still using Excel spreadsheets or spreadsheets of some kind to do these sorts of calculations. And that's probably perfectly adequate. As you get into higher-end solutions, of course, having some product that's very specific to this may make a difference. And how that's integrated into your ACD solution could be important, depending, again, on your size and the complexity of your operations. We, of course, have a number of companies that have their own workforce management systems that grew up. Many of them have been acquired by other firms. Aspect acquired TCS, 15 years ago or something. And, but there are others that are still out here doing this kind of work. And so, again, the ability to interact with these is going to be something that's key. Call recording comes in sort of two dimensions or two flavors. One is call logging, for compliance reasons or archival purposes, and basically record all the calls or all the calls that come in on these numbers or all the calls when the agent says, hey, we better capture this. Then the other is sort of the quality monitoring side. Similar technology, quite a different application in terms of how they work. But again, this is one of these capabilities that we're seeing some very interesting advances coming in. In particular, what's interesting is how do we marry up quality monitoring with training systems and with workforce management, by the way. So some of the more innovative systems out here today are basically looking at quality monitoring scores, maybe doing some analytics. I have it on the next chart. But looking at analytical capabilities and saying, this agent needs help in this area. And so actually going out and, usually with some kind of permissions, scheduling the agent for actually taking training in areas that their quality monitoring system pointed out is a weakness that they need to work on. So, pretty sophisticated stuff going on in terms of how we're doing this kind of monitoring going forward. A lot of work lately in agent desktops. real estate on the desktop is always an issue, especially in large and complex call center solutions. And so one of the things we're seeing is more innovative ways to display data, to get access to information, to pop screens. Again, we'll talk more about some of those things in a few minutes. But basically, there's just a lot of things that are going on here in this area. And again, so look for companies that are starting to think through how do we support the agent desktop. What's real interesting, of course, with Microsoft is that all of the presence capabilities, the instant messaging capabilities, the stuff that sort of comes with unified communications packages, you know, is now becoming a part of this. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the both challenges and also opportunities for looking at those kinds of solutions. Performance optimization. This is sort of a buzzword that was really popular a couple of years ago, and people are still trying to figure out, what do we do with this? How do we create balanced scorecards that allow us to, you know, monitor the agents, make sure that they're working on the right things, making sure that we get customers that are satisfied and happy with what's going on? And that, frankly, is a whole area that people are looking at. This is a very interesting chart that came out of MetricNet, a very interesting company. They're doing some really interesting work in terms of sort of summarizing what are the major KPIs that you may want to care about in your contact center. The things in red, cost per contact, agent utilization, customer satisfaction. And what it shows is basically what are the factors that flow up into all of these major KPI areas. And it's a really good summary. The only comment I'd have on it is this box up here on customer satisfaction. I think that's been a slippery slope for people to try and figure out, what do we measure to figure out how satisfied the customers are? And of course, this is something that got its start 10 plus years ago, when people were really looking at, what does customer satisfaction mean and how do we measure it? Because it's a real interesting challenge and dilemma. What's fascinating is that we've started to see other kinds of measures evolve and really take more prominent center stage. The next one was net promoter scores, and I'll talk about that in a second. And the third one is where we're going, I think, in the future, which is all about customer effort. And this has, by the way, some really interesting implications, I think, for Microsoft and some of its products. So, as I say, there's sort of a history of this, where we've gone through the years looking first at customer sat, net promoter scores, then customer effort. What's fascinating is this study by the Corporate Executive Board charted the predictive powers for repurchase against the predictive power for increased spend, how much money a customer might spend in the future, and they looked at different kinds of measurements as a predictor of this. Customer satisfaction isn't very good. Just because somebody's satisfied doesn't really necessarily mean that they're going to buy again. There's a lot of work that I've done in this area. There's a gentleman that's done a lot of work from Japan, Kyo, that has basically looked at this and pointed out that there are some kinds of activities that you can dissatisfy people, but there's no opportunity to please them. In other words, they expect that the plane's going to be on time, right? So if your plane gets in on time, That's not a delight. It's not something that necessarily brings you. That's what's expected, right? And your bags are going to show up. So if the bags don't show up, it's a big dissatisfier. But the fact that the bags show up doesn't make you say, wow, this is great. So I think people were trying to figure out what to do about this. So they tended to move to this net promoter score as a concept. And I think that's, a very interesting idea. This is, you know, would you recommend our company to your friends? You know, score of 1 to 10, how likely is it that you would do this? And you get a net promoter score by taking the number of responses in the top two buckets and you subtract the number of scores in the bottom five buckets, and that's your NPS. So, and that seemed to go pretty well for a while. But what's starting to emerge, and I think this is really key for the next generation of consumers that's coming along, is this issue about effort. People don't really want to be delighted. You know, this business about delighting your customers, that was a big mantra, 5 years ago? And yet, I don't think that does much. What you want to do is make sure that you're meeting their expectations, but do it in a way that minimizes the amount of effort that they have to put in to get to that point. So the point is, we're starting to see some shifts here. Why is this important at a Microsoft conference? One of the really key things that I think Microsoft and some other companies that are doing similar kinds of thinking is that, how do we bring together all of these various kinds of communications into a more seamless whole? So part of effort is, if I'm able to talk to somebody more efficiently, to get to an expert, to bring in the right people. This is all about presence, right? Who's available? How can I best get to them to meet a customer problem? And so I think that we're going to see some, the shifts that we're seeing in the market really portend well for the kind of capabilities that Microsoft and its partners are able to deliver into this market space. I think that's going to be a very important trend going forward. Okay, I want to speed this up a little bit. So analytics are a couple kinds of analytical issues. One that obviously is, how do we analyze what's been said on a conversation? How do we do word spotting? How do we look for, you know, mention of a competitor product? How do we identify things that might be of interest to a marketing department? So that's one sort of kind of analytical issue. Another one is, in real time, how do we monitor what's going on? How do we have systems monitor the call? And if somebody's upset on the other end of the line, how do we notify a supervisor so the supervisor can do whisper to the person on the line and to the agent on the line and say, hey, wait a minute, how about trying this approach or whatever? So, you know, this is starting to emerge. This is still more of an art than a science at this point, but we're starting to see companies develop these kinds of things. Workflow processing, very interesting concept. And what we're starting to see is that some companies have developed some ways that you can actually build rather simple workflow processing capabilities that suddenly changes sort of the nature of, of how the interaction works. And that kind of an approach we find is something that has very interesting opportunities. And again, the nice thing about the Microsoft environment and all of its partners is the fact that, you know, the document centricity that we've got within Microsoft, the way it's focused on the desktop, et cetera, that really has some interesting capabilities in terms of how do we process these kinds of documents more effectively, and how do we build that into the way our contact center is working. So some interesting capabilities here. Popping information about the customer. This is pretty old hat now. Screen pops have been around for a long time. But being able to do that, being able to access contact history and provide that information, the next step that people are looking at is predict next action. If I can do a data dip, understand the nature of what my customer is done with us in the past, you know, they put in 3 service calls in the last week. Hello? That means we probably should route that call differently and provide different information to the agent screen. And so, again, people are really starting to figure out how do we build these systems in ways that will supply that kind of an environment more effectively. The whole area of agent assistance, screen pops, knowledge management. You know, what kind of systems do we have behind the scenes that can pop information onto the screen that will help? So, again, this is another big trend area that I think is going to become increasingly important as we move forward. And so something to look at as you're evaluating various kinds of approaches. Outbound, totally different idea. There obviously are 2 kinds of situations. The telemarketing, of course, is the one we all know about, where we're interrupted at dinner to buy screens for our windows or something. But that's, you know, there's a market there, and so some of the partners have developed systems that are strong in the outbound side. The other piece that I think is to me more interesting is this proactive notification step, proactive outbound. And I think this is one of the future trends that's going to become increasingly important. What's the best way to control costs in a call center? Prevent the inbound call, exactly. And so one way to prevent the inbound call is make an outbound notification of something that's happening. The check's in the mail. Your claim has been processed. Expect to hear from an agent within 2 days. You know, all these kinds of things are ways that you stop calls from coming into the center itself. And so I think that, again, is a functionality and a capability that's going to be extremely important going forward. Finally, unified communications. This is a very interesting one. I've been talking for, I don't know, 8-10 years about how we need to do a better job of getting information. We have to make sure that our contact center is not this isolated group of people that's sitting off in a corner of the office someplace, that they really need to be much more engaged with the whole environment. Or maybe the whole company is a contact center. Right, Robin? So the point is that what we need to do is think about how do we reach outside of our contact center to get information. Great idea, terribly tough to implement. Lots of reasons why. One is the experts you want to reach, they're not call center agents, they may not do a great job of it. They may be busy on other stuff, right? Challenges. Other ones are the contact center manager doesn't want to let go. He's grown up in a cost environment. That's the way most contact centers people have been raised, not as a resource for the company, but rather this is a cost to be controlled. And so they don't want to lose control, passing that call off somewhere else. So the point is there have been some real hurdles, I think, to try and make this thing work effectively. So but we're getting there. So opportunities to extend the center is, I think, a really interesting opportunity, obviously, that we can do a better job of going forward. Okay, linked partner solutions. We got a lot of them. Let me go back to this chart and just point out that all the stuff here on the left-hand side, you know, has sort of been addressed by response group within Microsoft. You know, that was their idea. We'll have this response group capability that can handle these sort of low-end calls. Well, yes, sort of. But I think what we're finding is that there are some gaps, there are some holes. So some of the partners, for example, have developed very interesting metric solutions where you can get better reports out of this whole response group capability. That's one idea. Most of them are focused over here on this side, where we have really a span of capabilities from very high-end dedicated systems to, fairly basic features, but things that work very effectively to integrate in with Microsoft is doing. This is sort of a chart of some representative of the contact center partners that are here. And, you know, again, a number of different firms. We're going to hear from a couple of these folks as we in a few minutes. There are also some adjunct solution providers, people who just do some very specialized capabilities within this. They don't purport to say that they're a contact center environment themselves, but rather they have tools and capabilities that can plug into and work with a link environment to provide some of these sorts of solutions. There's a whole ISV qualification test plan capability that's gone on. And, you know, this is really comprehensive. I spent some time going through this, 100-plus page document. And the idea is to certify that this is something the partners do to make sure that they are certified and operate correctly. Specific scenarios are specified, and the partner has to show that their system produces the intended results. And so there's lots of documentation of all this just to make sure that it's being done well. So if we start looking at the partner solutions, you can divide it under a number of different dimensions. Those that are really designed for formal contact centers, those over toward the right, versus those that are more informally designed. How many agents can they support? How comprehensive is the functionality that they provide? Some of them have very specialized capabilities. Again, some rather unique ideas that they bring to the table that may be very appropriate for a particular organization. And then finally, there's sort of this issue of how do we inter-network with Link? How do we work with it? And there fundamentally are two kinds of approaches, but what's interesting is there are two kinds of approaches 2 years ago, and now there's sort of two kinds of approaches with a number of different variants and a number of variations. And so we're going to explore these with our panel here in just a few minutes. So if we look at sort of number of agents on this scale and feature richness and complexity on this scale, in general, let me say this. Those partners that are coming at this from being established contact center solution providers, they had their own business, they had their own companies, they basically were selling solutions out on their own, independent of what anything Microsoft did. They tend to be more more feature-rich on this side. They span a pretty broad sense and number of agents that they'll support. Some of the newer solution providers that are coming along tend to be in more in this side of the space. And again, this is all generalized. You know, there are exceptions, many of them, to each one of these statements. But what's really interesting is that the integration or the internetworking capability tends to be what we call connected for these companies that are down in this area and tends to be, I'm sorry, I did that backwards, tends to be connected with the companies up here in the blue and tends to be sort of natively tied into the link solutions over here. This basically, we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we get into some of the different architectures. In fact, I'm going to get some of our panel up here to talk about that right now. So we've got 5-minute presentations from four different people. Bill Gay will start off, then Chris Barden, and then Michael Schrall, and Robin van der Briggen from the Netherlands. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. Why don't you come on up? Here, you want to do this?
Sure.
I just punched your first button, and I shouldn't have done that. You can go back if you want. It's there.
Test.
I'm Bill Gay. I'm from Aspect. I do manage the UC business at Aspect, but I've been here for about 14 years, so I have a long, strong history in the call center space. It's funny, I haven't seen this content before just now, and we actually acquired Rockwell about, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago. It's probably longer than that. I just don't remember. I was there. I worked for Rockwell. So we actually invented the call center industry in 1973 for Continental Airlines. I was also a user of TCS. Anyway, it's just funny how we think about what we've done and how far we've come. In terms of the link integration, we got into this in about 2008. When it was still Microsoft OCS 2007 R2. So a lot of our integrations started from the idea that he mentioned a moment ago, which is the connected instead of the native. And that has to do a lot with our history. We had a call center product around for quite a long time before there was Microsoft Link, before there was OCS. So our connections, you know, generally we're moving forward with, for example, with SIP to connect from the, from the voice perspective. And then we use UCMA, you know, pretty much directly to understand presence and to understand, some of the other integrations that we use and we leverage. He mentioned Expert Agent. That was one of the first things that we came out with as a company. So the ability to extend the reach of our contact center into other areas, especially in the back office. We did some other things around that too, such as with workforce management, to be able to schedule, to allocate those resources so they at least knew to be prepared. So we throw it on their Outlook calendar, right, to make them aware, hey, from 2 to 4 today, you might be getting a call or you might be getting an IM to help out in a situation. So that was one of the first things that we did. With the SDK. We do other things using now UCWA and UCMA where it's appropriate to extend the reach into other areas. For example, we have the live chat idea. So being able to have inbound chat from websites where the customer doesn't have to have link, but we're using link on the back end to have those informational conversations. We can do video calls. We do like video kiosks, for example. You walk up, you initiate a contact. We route it through our engine because we have a workflow engine as well built into our contact center that can understand and take that information and route it to the appropriate agent. And we treat all those agents. They all have skills. They all need all these things to work and to be able to report on them. All those things are basically taken advantage of. And the only other thing, that's me, believe it or not, right there. Thank you. So that this is the idea of having, for example, an internal a response group, for example, that might initiate a call. This is a help desk type of application. It could be other things externally, could be through Federation, but to be able to launch that through, again, our contact center is something that that basically we are a part of and we support and we connect. And we also, by the way, hook into a lot of other stuff with Microsoft. On the back end, we use SQL Server. We have Exchange Server tie-ins for email routing and so forth, Dynamics, as well as SharePoint. We invest a lot in what's called the Agent Portal. So also the ability to provide agents the ability to do knowledge base and other things, because we believe that's also very important in the infrastructure. The approach that we have as far as our integration, you know, we have to interop with a lot of other devices, a lot of other manufacturers in the ecosystem. But out of the box, you know, I am in presence, conferencing, whether it's voice, video. We do have integrations into Skype, of which we can use either Federation or we can use direct Skype into our contact center through Skype Connect, connected. And we support all kinds of linked devices, right, within our infrastructure. Active Directory basically provides a foundation for us as well. So when you create or terminate a user, that information is automatically updated within our piece. And then finally, we almost have to support everything that customers already have in order to protect their investment. So if you already have a speech analytics engine, if you already have a call recording solution, we want to take that information as much as possible and certify it on our platform so that we are able to take advantage of those things as well, because we get asked that question a lot. So we have a very robust interaction as well. So with that, I want to turn it over to the next. I didn't know who was next exactly, but there you go.
That's okay. I'll figure out by which slide comes up. Okay, yeah, so I'm Chris from Computer Talk. Yeah, I mean, I've only got a couple of slides on here. I kind of got asked, Don asked if we could talk a little bit about what it means, like what the distinction between, you know, native and connected contact centers are. And actually, I like that connected term. I've been looking for the right word to describe that. But, you know, the short bit, yeah, Computer Talk, we've been, we kind of fit in the chart earlier. We're kind of in that blue bubble that we were, we've had a contact center solution for about, you know, the last 25 years, but we've kind of gone and taken a full bet on Link and gone pretty much fully native on that platform. So what that meant is, you know, the platform we had before, we were able to basically rip the media layer out and plug in Link, and now we're sitting right inside there. So this is just a diagram that kind of shows a high-level architecture of what, you know, what we kind of mean when we say Link native. And this is kind of an important distinction. Is if you see on there, you've got your you got your typical Link server stuff there, and you got a bunch of application server pieces.
Sure.
One more hand. So, you know, you got your telephony that comes in through your gateway, Link, you know, Link mediation, Link front end, but all the application servers here, this is all native inside the Link topology. So you load up the Link topology builder, you see, you know, a CS trusted application pool under the trusted application servers, that's all where those pieces live. And I guess the question is, why is that important? So a couple of reasons. The biggest one is interop. Like, by taking this bet on Link, people always ask, well, can you interop with this PBX? Or I'm trying to move from this platform to this platform. Do you work with Federation? Do you work with Skype? And we just say yes to all of it because we're part of Link. So when you like with ICE, for example, when you contact our contact center, it's a Link endpoint. So you assign a DID in Link, you call it through Link, and that means that if I can reach your Link users through Federation, you can reach your contact center. So if you're partnering with somebody and you want to be able to do link-to-link calls on and that, we get all that interop. So, you know, that's important for PSTN, that's important for Federation, it's important for modalities. So again, we support web chat, IM, all that's native through Link. So agents handle IMs on their Link client, same way they handle, you know, an ACD IM looks no different than a peer-to-peer IM, except it's coming from a bot. So it's using the technology base that we've already got, which means that as Microsoft is rolling out new capabilities, it's things we can just start taking advantage of. So Skype is a good example. As soon as Skype Federation rolled out, now we all of a sudden have Skype voice support and Skype IM support. So that's all stuff that's been built in by having that strong interop position within the topology. Well, given that that doesn't work yet, but once that gets turned on, again, you know, Skype video is just going to be one of those things we'll be able to plug in, and it's just going to work. You know, app sharing in Skype is going to be another one. they don't support that yet, but when they do. So unified management is another big one. I'm going to flip back there. There's only one set of trunks coming in there. There's only one set of SBCs. There's one set of gateways. So rather than having another telephony platform that has to sit outside of your link topology, everything's managed in the same spots. That means all your DIDs. You know, if you want DIDs that go to the contact center, it's managed through Link. DIDs that, agent accounts are managed through Link. Everything is, one set of telephony parameters, one set of stuff to deal with. Working through migrations, that's a big one that people come up with. We run into a lot of people that have deployed. They've got Link, they've got IMP, they've still got their PBX, and they want to have, say, part of their contact center move over. They want to pilot part of it. So, again, if Link can reach it, ICE can reach it. So having a native contact center solution means that we can log in agents on other platforms that Link can connect to. So again, taking that bet on Link means that we don't have to go in and interop test with every platform under the sun. We let the Microsoft people do that because they have more time than we do. So we can spend our time building better features. Again, being inside the mediation server means, we're not taking a mediation hit on every call. So, things that are inside Link stay inside Link. Support for media bypass. Our entire workflow engine, like all of our IVR builder, speech rec and TTS, all of our IVR is based on UCMA. We've got a nice graphical editor for it, so don't actually have to go in and write code. But one of the nice things about that is we get basically free speech rec and text to speech. UCMA does it, works inside a Link, works in the contact center. And last one up there, just Link presence. Being a member of that topology, we've got access to everybody's Link presence, as well as our contact center presence, which are not always the same thing. That's something we've run into is a lot of times people want different states. They want to be online for the enterprise, but they're busy in the contact center. So, we've got ways. We can have those two separate states. We can keep them synchronized. We have a rules engine that can do that. That can manipulate one with the other. So that's actually something we found that comes up a lot with. We talk about the expert assist scenario and reaching outside of the contact center to somebody else in the enterprise who may not have, an agent desktop tool. They may not have a contact center presence. They may not even know they're an agent. But we know that hey, their Link presence says they're available. I can route them a contact. Then when they're on that contact, I make them busy in the contact center. So, having that visibility into not only see but manipulate presence in Link is really powerful. So that's all I got for those two slides.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Schrall with Interactive Intelligence. I'm a Global Alliances Manager for in our Link practice as well. Interactive Intelligence has been around for just over 20 years now, so another player in the market that has been innovating in contact centers for quite some time. Our approach is also a connected approach. We do not do native-based integrations. This diagram is really to show kind of different approaches. So in each of our Link deployments, our customers are utilizing our solutions in many different ways. Sometimes they're using us only for IM and presence, using Link only for IM and presence. Sometimes they're using them for Link voice and the whole stack. In each of those different topologies, we actually have different interface points and how they integrate. But looking at our standard solution, what we're trying to depict here is a customer could have certain users that are really sitting on our stack, which is called CIC. They're not using Link. We've had customers that have locked down contact centers. They don't want their agents being able to IM with other agents. We have customers that have, obviously entirely Link users. That's the enterprise side. But where our solution can come in is really in the center spot around integrating those two desktop experiences as well as the voice path. So in our connected scenario, we use Link as an endpoint, and we use Link really like any other endpoint. We're not a PBX solution, we're a contact center provider. So we use Link as the delivery engine to deliver those calls down to the agent. So we work in many different environments, whether we're working with more of a legacy PBX solution, working with Polycom handsets. If you look at the applications that we have here, we do have some integration touch points where we do UCMA. So we are doing some native type integrations. But that's really around presence synchronization, and providing things like routing a chat through the solution, different interface points through there. Our solution's all on the Microsoft stack. We've integrated, obviously, all through the UCMA stack, and we use all of our integration points from a telephony perspective. We're all SIP-based. If I were to look and say, you know, why did we choose our approach versus going a mainly a native approach? And it really comes down to, you know, we've been running and working out in the industry for a long time. Customers, you know, for us, it's, the endpoint is not important. How they want to deliver calls to their endpoint isn't crucial to us. What is crucial is providing the application services on top of their solutions or their infrastructure. So if you look at how customers typically move to a contact center application, they're never going to come in and say, let me rip out everything I have and replace and turn it over overnight. That kind of solution would not be feasible. But what it does allow, especially with a solution like ours, because we're able to interface with so many different, you know, phone endpoint solutions, including Link, is for them to use one contact center application and layer on top of maybe an Avaya PBX. And I've got a proof of concept running over here with a Link voice and deployment. So there's different options, and this allows them to really not have to do this rip and replace. One of the other sides as well is that, you know, great assumption, customer's gonna use all Link for their entire enterprise. Well, maybe they don't. Maybe they have a great example is that is I see a lot of, hey, we've standardized on Link, we standardized on CIC for my deployment, but what I don't have, what I do is I acquire another company and I need to bring them in and I want to fold them into the same contact center suite. But we can layer on top of that and have a customer that's split in deployments or split in infrastructure where some of it is Link, some of it is other PBX solutions. Obviously, because of our approach, taking the SIP approach, we obviously support all the SIP endpoints for Link. Obviously, the same points from before, you know, really we're taking advantage of Microsoft's work, their validations, et cetera. Really, the key, the focus around why we did what we did is around we wanted to make sure we didn't lose out in the functionality we provide from our contact center. So if you look at our stack of solutions, we provide solutions in every part of the contact center that mentioned, you know, the workforce optimization area, including recording, quality management, workforce management. And one of my favorite new ones is we have real-time speech analytics. So we're doing that word spotting, looking for words in conversations, able to alert agents. That's partially because that technology is on our media stack. We can still be delivering the calls to the agents, but we're listening and providing all that value on top of Link's infrastructure. And then looking at the last is really just enterprise-grade contact center solutions. So we continue to move up market. We have solutions on both on-premise and cloud. We have 6,000 customers and over 100 companies and localized in 25 languages. And the key there is really, you know, we're bringing that kind of background and innovation onto the Link platform for everybody to take advantage of. So.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. My name is Robin van der Breggen. I'm Business Development Director of Workstream People. We're a company based in the Netherlands. And we take a sort of more disruptive approach to, say, contact centers. We do actually in dialogue management, as we say. Well, what do we mean with dialogue management? In whatever way a customer tries to contact your organization, if it's by email, chat, call, Twitter, web chat, he should be in contact with the right person, with the right amount of expertise, with the right amount of level of knowledge of your specific situation as soon as possible. In our vision, we say rethink contact center. So wherever your employee or agent works, he shouldn't be limited by working remotely or working with any kind of device. And what we try to do is actually organize an organization around the call instead of routing a call through the organization. And we do that actually by bringing back all kinds of unnecessary dialogues. We have a sort of different approach to users. If you compare us to, say, the more traditional players, they always look at the number of users in the market space. We look at the number of UCCs. And a UCC stands for Unified Contact Center. A Unified Contact Center can be a department, right? For example, your IT, your support, or your sales department. But it can also be a role model, like a reception, or a boss admin, a PA kind of approach. But it can be internally, but it can also be externally. So let's say, for example, you work together with a couple of businesses in your value chain. They could be part of your call flow. And that all is registered within our software. So you can track actually the whole call from beginning to end. And we have added a couple of large functionalities to Link, to actually enhance the Link functionalities within your business. And they're all based on things like contact center, where we jumped into. We offer a reception attendant. We offer management, real-time management information. We offer skill-based routing. And we offer, say, CRM integration. So all that is possible within our solution. But then a little bit about, say, our architectural footprint. What you can see here, you see that anywhere runs within the Link typology. As you see here, we don't have Active Directory users. We actually have SIP users. So anybody with a SIP address within anywhere can be an agent. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're connected, either through mobile or through desktop, you can always be part of the call flow. The biggest footprint that you have with anywhere is SharePoint Foundation, SQL Express, and one Anywhere 365 server running in one environment. As you can see, we're part of the trusted application pool, and that actually means that you can have up to 12 Anywhere 365 servers running in one pool. So that gives you unknown capability advantages, and all made possible through the report builder of Link. As you can see here, the standard communication is still run within Link. Mediation takes part of the PSTN. All the communication with the outside world is done through Edge. And all the normal communication is done to the front-end servers. And if you combine this together, you basically get all the outcome actually through real-time management reporting. We offer web interactions. As we said in the beginning, it's not limited to any particular device or location. And of course, the rest is on the desktop. What you see here is that we use SQL for storing the management information of all the metadata that's coming from the dialogues. We use IIS for the web services, and we use SharePoint actually to organize all the settings for the UCCs and all the IVR content. And that's actually about it.
Thank you very much. Okay, so what we wanted to do was just give you sort of a smattering of some of the kind of partner solutions that are here. Come on Thursday if you like, and you'll hear a different set of partners. So, but the point is that there are a lot of really innovative things that are coming out here. And I think, you know, this business of using Link as a platform to develop some of these kinds of kind of capabilities, I think, has been extremely positive. Many of these companies that I had on the chart are down on the floor, and so I'd urge you to go and take a look at some of these on the exhibit hall themselves. Okay, so what are some of the choices about, you know, how do we boil all this down into what makes sense from your perspective as to how to proceed? This is a chart I put together a number of years ago in our consulting work. When we're working with organizations to try and help them understand what direction that they ought to be headed, it's helpful sometimes to have some kind of a model. This one is basically something that came up from a couple of authors named Tracy and Wordsma. They wrote a book in the mid-80s called Discipline of Market Leaders. And basically what their thesis was, they revised this subsequently, but their basic thesis was there are three kinds of value disciplines that organizations can do. You can be focused on customer intimacy, product leadership, or operational efficiency. Pick one. That was their idea. And they basically said that those companies that try to do all of these things wind up sort of falling in the middle and never really get focused on it. What's important, I think, for this discussion is that as we look at some of these kinds of things, it has interesting implications for how you run a contact center based on what your overall business value structure is. And in particular, here's some examples of these companies, by the way. So Nordstrom's customer intimacy, Apple in product leadership, Walmart in operational efficiency. You know, I could name a couple dozen more companies and put them into these categories. What's really interesting is that the way the contact center works will vary from one company to another, or at least in our opinion, it should. So, for example, if you're customer intimacy, these are some of the kinds of things that are going to be important in your business area. Really understanding detailed knowledge of the customer's relationship and history with the organization. That's going to be really critical. Personalized interaction, seamless integration, et cetera. Just a lot of these kinds of issues. If your goal is really operational efficiency, your contact center should be running differently. It has different goals, different objectives, different places that it should really be concentrating its efforts in. And then finally, two, for product leadership. This one's kind of interesting. The customer intimacy and the operational efficiency are sort of obvious in terms of what you need to do in a contact center. This one less so. What you're really trying to do is view the contact center as a gathering point for information within your organization. And one of the things Apple's done is figured out how do they get, not only in the contact center, but in the Apple stores, how do we gather information and then organize that and get it to places where people can make effective decisions out of it. So this sort of a mapping is something you might want to think about. It's one model. There are several others that we use in our consulting work, but this is one model that we've found to be extremely effective to help people start channeling where they're going to go. Because out of this, obviously, there are some very different kinds of product capabilities that are going to be necessary, features and functions that you're going to need to have within your operation in order to make it work really effectively. Here's another model. One of the things that we found is that successful contact centers can really succeed most effectively if they match up what the center mission is. The mission, of course, is based on the previous chart we just saw. You know, what's the focus of your business and how do you want to work? So matching up the mission with the capabilities that you have in the company. And there are sort of four obvious stopping points along the chart. Now, what's important here is that the goal isn't to do this, to move from this up to this, move from essential services up to having a customer or an enterprise-wide customer focus. The point is, make it consistent. So, you know, maybe all you need, it's a necessary evil. Okay, there are ways you can do that. There are ways you can design your centers to support that kind of a mission. And I think where companies get into trouble, and we see this, frankly, when we're going out and talking to people that manage contact centers, sometimes they want to have all these kinds of capabilities out here, but on the other hand, that's not their mission. And so people come to us and they wonder, why can't I get budget for doing all these great things I ought to do? The reason's simple. Upper management understands that that's not really the job of the contact center. So this is an interesting balance, and my recommendation to you is really understand where do you fit. You know, what's your mission? How does it match up and marry up with what the overall corporate goals are? And then out of all this, obviously, you know, we can start looking at, well, what's important? What kinds of capabilities do we need to have in the technology we're choosing to make sure that this makes some sense? Where are things going in the future? Gosh, I could do a whole couple hours on this, but and this is just a part of it. One thing I think is really crucial is heading towards seamless multi-channel. Oops, don't charge up there. Sorry about that. I have a monitor down here, and I just zapped everybody with a laser. So multi-channel is one thing, but go back to that customer effort thought. You know, what we need to do is make sure that when we use multi-channel, and by the way, there are two kinds of things going on. One is that I may call in one time, I may log into a website another time, I may be on my smartphone another time. You know, that's multi-channel, but it's also multi-channel when we're on one particular interaction and bridging from one to another. You know, somebody that, obvious example, somebody starts out in the IVR and then they need to talk to an agent. Don't we all hate it when we have to repeat all the information we told the IVR? You know, that's sort of the old hat thing. Why can't you guys get that integrated? Well, that kind of seamless interaction, I think, is becoming increasingly important as we move forward into this multi-channel world. And so that's going to be something that's important. Partial automation. Really interesting idea. What a simple idea. What tends to happen, we find in most contact centers, is that people tend to be either, it's got to all be handled by the agent, or it's all got to be handled in the IVR or on the website. Frequently, that's not the right answer. The best answer for many of these customer interactions is you partially automate it. In other words, you put somebody in the IVR, you collect certain data that the IVR is great at collecting, or you get certain data filled out on a form on a web page, and then they transfer to an agent to complete the transaction, and all that information is readily available to the agent. And that's the key to making that kind of thing work. One of the reasons that we like some of the Microsoft initiatives and some of the partners that are building things on top of the Microsoft platform is that that kind of capability is really easy, well, easier to do, let's put it that way. And the ability to have a platform with APIs, platform with SDKs, platforms to, and by the way, a whole ecosystem of developers and VARs out there that can do these kinds of things, this really makes a difference in terms of how you build some of these kinds of opportunities and applications. Smartphone integration, again, I spoke about this earlier, about how we need to do much more with smartphones in terms of visual menus, in terms of how do we really start building applications that allow people to do more effective self-service because of the capabilities that are built right in there. But don't lose sight of the fact also that when you transfer to an agent from a smartphone application, quite often you're able to communicate a lot more, you can authenticate much more readily because you've got a cell phone, you know, you've got that number, you've got that information. And that's sort of part of an authentication process that can really be leveraged very well. Social media, I'm not going to say anything more about this. This is obviously a huge area that people are trying to figure out what best to do about it. Again, look for ways that the vendors you're going to be looking at or the partners you're going to be selecting to do your work can really interface in ways that are making sense for your organization. And finally, I'd like to end with this sort of customer portal concept. This has sort of been one of my hot buttons for a number of years. I think we're changing the way contact centers are going to work in the future. And in particular, what's going to happen is that we're going to open up new windows for customers to directly contact into organizations more effectively. The way they're going to do that is by logging onto a website or onto a portal of some kind, authenticating themselves in a way that's secure, and then maybe all of a sudden starting to see presence of the individuals in the organization that they interact with or they need to interact with. Not the contact center, by the way, but directly into the organization. Will that be for all customers? Of course not. Will it tend to be more B2B than B2C initially, business to business rather than business to consumer? Yes, we think so. But we're going to start seeing how these capabilities are going to be designed. And again, having a platform that gives you the ability to have APIs, to have ways to reach out into databases, have ways to extend the interaction beyond the contact center directly into the rest of the organization. We think that's a really fundamental change that's going to be happening over the next 5 years. And so I think that's something that is going to be very telling going forward. So how do you select an approach? Well, just in summary, know the business strategy, understand what your vision is for communications within your organization. Microsoft's approach has been very disruptive, obviously, and that kind of disruption offers immense opportunities for businesses to to change the way work gets done within their organizations. That's the thing that drives our consulting work, and frankly, we think that there are tremendous opportunities out there for people to look at how their organizations are getting things happening. Plan the architecture, do the implementation. You know, it's, you know, we could spend lots of time on this, but the point is that there's a balance here between the various elements that we've been speaking about today. And the right answer is, how do we select these things and make it work well? Thanks. Any questions? And stand up, guys. Let's, you know, just to ask any of us any questions you got. Anything out there? We put them all to sleep. Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you all very much. We appreciate your attendance, and thanks a lot.
If you guys don't have any questions, I got a question for you guys. Everybody who's here looking at contact centers for Link, how many people are looking for voice? I am? Okay, video.
Hands higher.
Hands higher.
Couple video, okay.
Couple for video, that's it. Okay, anybody with their hands down, why not?
Because they're your competitors. Good.
Be seen on a video for 4 hours for troubleshooting an issue. So it basically depends on which vertical you want to go with.
Good. Any other questions or comments? Sure. Thank you.
Video is a dangerous animal, right? Because if you have a kiosk, it's one thing. I can control the bandwidth and the capability and, you know, latency jitter. I have a lot of control over that. If we're opening up video to somebody who's sitting on their home Comcastic internet or dial-up or PSTN, we have no control over that. So the experience that you're going to create is potentially a downfall. And, you know, think of this as you're potentially putting this in, because a lot of us are vendors in here, a lot of us are customers in here. Think of what you could do to the industry in creating poor experiences. So it's very, very critical to analyze the networks and think about that holistically as you're trying to bring video into the contact center. The agents are fine, right? We're going to control them, we're going to build them. But the people that are coming into that center, how are you going to analyze what network they have and speeds? You almost have to analyze that before you even offer it to them as a channel. So I guess if you have any feedback as to thoughts on, as you are approaching that, what are you considering? How are you considering analyzing that network?
Chris?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And, you know, I'm going to take it back, and again, I get to pin the blame on Microsoft for this, because, again, you look at something like Skype. Okay, Skype video is going to offer you a scaled experience based on what your bandwidth is. So, you know, if you've got a really good uplink, then you get this nice HD video. If you don't, you get something more like a slideshow. But the codecs are adaptive. And I think as long as you set the expectation that, you know, yeah, of course, if you're on a crappy connection, you're going to get bad video. And maybe, you know, you could provide feedback in there. It's like, hey, maybe you don't want to do video on this connection if you're below this threshold, or detect what the uplink speed is. But, you know, really, I think it's more about offering the adaptive experience and just being able to react to what's in there. The catch with video, the trick with video, and Skype is what's actually a big help in this way, is I control what's on the agent's desktop. I have no control over what's sitting out there in the wild. So kiosks are a great example. Web-based video, if you're doing any of the stuff they showed off today, is a great example. But you know, your customers aren't going to have Link, not necessarily.
Good. Anything else? Okay. Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate your help.